The slowing economy is only one reason that Crocs have tanked. Crocs are those brightly colored plastic clogs dotted with holes that were all the rage last year. No more. The Colorado-based company has now closed a manufacturing plant in Canada and laid off about 1,300 workers. And Crocs' stock price has fallen 90% over the last year. NPR's Jeff Brady reports the company is trying new ways to survive.
Standing on the 16th Street Mall in downtown Denver, and let me tell you, when it comes to Crocs, people have very strong feelings.
I think they suck. They look stupid.
I mean, there's a few people around in our neighborhood that wear Crocs, but we clown them, though.
They're comfortable, but they're stupid. They're ugly.
That was Haley Norberg, Lloyd Love, and Ashley Dixon. All think the time for Crocs has well passed, and sensing that something once very popular has fallen, others are piling on. There's the I Hate Crocs blog. It contains videos demonstrating various ways to destroy the brightly colored clogs, such as with fireworks.
Do not try this at home.
Oh, I only got one, but it started to burn.
The company even acknowledged this phenomenon recently in a television advertisement featuring a man staring at a blue Crocs shoe and screaming.
Ah! Why are you wearing these? Why? Why? Why?
But clearly, not everyone hates Crocs. Even with an expected 20% decline in U.S. sales this year, the company will bring in about $800 million. During a recent webcast, CEO Ron Snyder didn't talk about his company's image. Instead, he blamed the economy for Crocs' financial troubles.
A combination of a very challenging economic environment, a sharp downturn in mall traffic, and retail is becoming more and more cautious with the frequency and quantity of their reorders.
The company also has had to deal with lawsuits, patent problems in Europe, competition from knockoffs, and reports that a few kids wearing Crocs got them stuck in escalators, causing some injuries. The company now includes a warning label with each pair of shoes. Jeff Mintz is an analyst with Wedbush Morgan Securities, which was involved in Crocs' initial public stock offering.
A lot of people believe that it's the end for the company, and I don't think so. I think they have a viable strategy now.
In May, the company hired a new marketing expert who used to work for Nike, and Crocs is developing new shoes that barely resemble its clogs. The company also plans to tailor its lines to the stores where they're sold, so the Crocs you find at Macy's will be different than those at REI.
It's probably something the company should have done, you know, 18 months or 2 years ago, having, you know, anticipating the end of a fad, which always comes.
Mintz compares the company's stock fiasco to the high-tech bust nearly a decade back. At the first sign of bad news, Crocs investors lost confidence in the company and the stock plunged. He says the company now has to rebuild that faith and convince investors and consumers that Crocs is more than just a passing fad. Jeff Brady, NPR News, Denver.
The auto industry has been hit hard by the slowing economy, and new numbers out this morning from the Labor Department show that the U.S. economy lost another 51,000 jobs in July. It's the seventh straight month of job losses. That's never happened before without the economy falling into recession. NPR's Chris Arnold reports.
The jobs report is a big deal because it shows whether all kinds of companies are growing and hiring people or battening down the hatches and laying people off. And so far this year, most companies have been doing a fair bit of battening. The unemployment rate is now up to 5.7%, the highest it's been in 4 years. Robert Dye is senior economist with PNC Financial Services Group.
This is a weak jobs report. The only good news in this is that it's not as bad as what some were fearing.
Dye says layoffs in residential home construction are spilling over into commercial construction. Retail stores are also shedding some jobs. Still, the overall job market hasn't completely come apart. The weak dollar is helping some manufacturers. The healthcare and education sectors remain pretty solid.
We've been losing jobs at what I would call a moderate pace, not severe. But the longer this goes, my concern is that we're going to lose jobs at an accelerating pace.
In other words, the problems in the economy could keep snowballing. One bright spot has been those tax rebate checks that the government put in people's pockets. But, Dye says,
we're starting to work our way through the other side of that, and there aren't that many supports out there to consumer spending. And the weights that caused this down cycle, the weights from a weak housing market, the weights from high oil prices, the weights from weak consumer confidence remain in place.
Like many economists, Dai is predicting a mild recession followed by a pretty weak recovery sometime next year. Chris Arnold, NPR News.
Today is the last day the House and Senate meet for the next 5 weeks, and it appears lawmakers will leave for their August recess without giving an answer to the president on offshore drilling. Earlier this week, President Bush called on Congress to lift a long-standing ban on drilling in the U.S. Outer Continental Shelf.
Legislation to open up this offshore exploration is pending in both the House and the Senate, and all the Democratic leaders have to do is to allow a vote.
Well, that vote has not happened, and Republicans are hoping the Democrats who run Congress will pay a political price. Those Democrats appear just as confident voters will hammer Republicans for blocking votes on developing alternative energy sources. NPR's David Wellner reports on the energy showdown on Capitol Hill.
After weeks of wrangling over what to do about $4-a-gallon gasoline, both sides in the debate appear exhausted. But Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn vowed yesterday he and other allies of President Bush would keep pressing to open up the 85% of the Outer Continental Shelf that remains closed to oil drilling.
Because on this side of the aisle, we believe that we should not leave here. We should not adjourn for the summer, for the August recess, without addressing this pressing issue.
The problem, as the Senate's number two Republican John Kyle pointed out, comes down to this.
Republicans want more offshore drilling. Democrats do not.
So even though nobody expected Senate Democrats to say yes, Minority Leader Mitch McConnell made one last stab at getting the vote President Bush had asked for.
I would ask unanimous consent that the Senate proceed to the immediate consideration of a Senate bill to address drilling in the Outer Continental Shelf.
When Colorado Democrat Ken Salazar objected, McConnell proposed lifting the drilling ban only if gas prices hit $10 a gallon. Salazar still objected.
No matter how you cut it, the Department of Energy and the Energy Information Administration has said we're not going to be producing anything out there for 7 to 10 years. And so it's not going to have an impact on gasoline now. So that really raises the question, what's the real motivation of these amendments and these agendas on the Republican side? And it really is a stalling tactic to keep gas on the minds of people through the month of August so that they play it for their own political advantage.
And Dick Durbin, the Senate's number two Democrat, pointed out that the Republicans' push for more drilling came on the same day that U.S. oil companies announced another quarter of record-breaking multi-billion-dollar profits, and their executives have contributed far more to Republicans than they have to Democrats.
The real reason behind the position on the Republican side, this is the oil company's agenda. This is the oil company's answer. Keep drilling. Give us more land. Give us more options. Let us put these in our portfolio. The same oil companies that are reporting not just record-breaking profits for oil companies, but record-breaking profits for American businesses.
And that's not a bad thing, argued New Hampshire Republican Judd Gregg.
Yes, the oil companies are making some big profits. They're spending it to look for oil also. When they're not spending it for look for oil, they're actually paying some dividends. And who gets those dividends? Well, if they're American companies, I suspect they're Americans.
Democrats say they'll keep pushing for alternative energy, which they say is the future, and for passage of a bill putting curbs on speculation in oil futures. But their leader, Harry Reid, said that won't happen until after the summer recess.
Because the Republicans, the speculation thing is over until the fall.
While the two sides argued, oil prices fell several dollars a barrel on world markets on concerns that demand for high-priced petroleum is now falling. David Wellner, NPR News, the Capitol.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. More ammunition today for both sides in the argument over whether the U.S. economy is in a recession or not. That ammunition came in the form of the government's latest numbers on gross domestic product, or GDP. The GDP measures the total output of goods and services in the economy. It's the broadest measure of the health of the U.S. economy. But as NPR's John Itzde reports, it doesn't always tell the whole story.
The government says that in the second quarter of this year, the economy expanded at just under a 2% annual growth rate. Not bad for an economy some say could be in a recession. But today's report also contained some revisions. Among them was a determination that in the last quarter of last year, the U.S. economy actually contracted just slightly by 0.2%. That led several prominent economists to suggest it was proof positive the U.S. is in a recession. Not so, says Bill Cheney, chief economist for John Hancock Financial in Boston.
The fact that we've had growth of about 1% and 2% in the first couple of quarters of this year suggests to me that we're definitely not in a recession, and there are aspects of this report which suggest that we're probably not going to be.
What's been fueling economic growth is U.S. exports. Overseas buyers find U.S. goods and services especially attractive because the weak dollar makes them cheaper. The government stimulus checks have also boosted growth, says Cheney. Consumers have spent about 20% of what they got so far. He thinks the economy could still get a little pop from additional stimulus spending this summer, so he's doubtful a recession will materialize. But there are some economic events not directly reflected in GDP numbers that also affect people's economic well-being. On a street in the Brambleton neighborhood of Ashburn, Virginia, realtor Joe Doman stands in front of a townhome that's about to be auctioned off.
There's signs all over the house indicating that there's definitely going to be an auction, and it's public and anyone's invited.
What's the price level for most of these townhomes right now?
Just over a year ago, the builder was selling them, and some of the people that are going in foreclosure were buying them at $625,000. They're selling now for about $440,000.
That nearly 30% drop in the value of this home is not reflected in the GDP numbers, even though it represents a big financial setback for the former owner and probably the lender that held the mortgage. And home price declines from 10 to 30% have been felt in many areas of the U.S.
There's no question that the American people are hurting a lot.
That's former Federal Reserve Governor Lyle Gramley, now senior economic advisor for the Stanford Group.
We know, of course, that GDP is a number that doesn't include the decline in home prices. It doesn't include the decline in your stock portfolio. It doesn't record the effect on your psyche when you see foreclosure signs going up in your neighborhood.
While these factors aren't directly represented in the top-line GDP numbers, says Gramley, they do translate into the sense of wealth and well-being that Americans feel. That means they could ultimately translate into lower consumer spending, which does directly affect GDP growth. Economist Bill Cheney says the low level of consumer spending in the past year is evidence that's already happening. In any case, he argues, the gross domestic product is the most comprehensive measure of what the total economy is doing, and right now it's growing.
So we're not looking at the kind of shrinking in the overall economy that has accompanied essentially every recession we've ever had. But having said that, the fact remains that for six consecutive months this year, and we may find it seven tomorrow, we've been losing jobs. And jobs, in a fundamental sense, are the basic measure of how well the economy is serving people.
The August employment report will be released by the government tomorrow. Cheney says while job losses have been smaller than in previous downturns, if the economy isn't creating jobs, there's something wrong with the economy. John Idstey, NPR News, Washington.